Montana State University Billings welcomes you to this internet broadcast of Yellow Jacket Sports.
And welcome to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adeblue today talking with the head coach for the Montana State Billings Yellow Jacket volleyball team, Steve Smith. Steve, of course, in his first year with Montana State Billings as he takes over for Dana Cordova. Steve, let's talk a little bit about that. First of all, welcome to Billings.
Oh, thanks. It's a great community, great school. I'm having a blast. We've been in a bit of a scramble so far since I got here so late in the summer, but things are working themselves out, and we're having a great time.
Let's talk about, give us a little bit of your background. I think some people are probably familiar with it if they've looked at the paper or listened to my program on News Talk 910 KBLG, but just kind of explain your background and how you ended up landing here in the Magic City.
Well, let me see. I started as a player when I was a youngster in eighth grade. I actually grew up as a competitive swimmer, but played volleyball through high school. And, you know, in college, I was a swimmer water polo player and was looking at shoulder surgery. And that's when I started playing a lot more and getting into coaching about that time. I coached a lot around Oregon. In fact, I was the assistant coach at Western Oregon for 9 years before I moved on to Fort Hays State University down in Kansas. And that's where I've been in the 4 years previous to this. You know, I resigned from the position in the fall after our last season, just looking to move on and do something different, be in a bigger community for me and for my family. Pretty selective with the jobs that I was applying for, and I'm very familiar with Montana. I've been up here hiking when I was a youngster, and I had one of my club players actually come to the school and play. So when the job opened, I jumped at it, and I couldn't be happier that I landed it. To me, it's just really what a great opportunity to be in a really neat community, really good school with lots of support, have a great AAD, have great players. Couldn't ask for more.
You know, I would agree with all those things, but at the same time, we look at it, and of course, you know, this is the third head coach they've had in the last 3 years. Obviously, when a coach takes a look at various positions, you know, that's one of the things they look at. Obviously, with whatever they had in place, you were able to get over whatever concerns you might have had about that.
I mean, it's to me, you know, it's about quality of life, and Billings as a town offers that. I'm an outdoor guy. I like hiking. I'm looking forward to getting back into fishing some, which I haven't done in a long time. But I've also been familiar with the school, again, with having a player come up here and, you know, just kind of getting that name recognition. You know, when I was at Western Oregon, we did play against Billings when it was in the old Pac West. And you guys actually came out to our place, and you had a really, really good team. So, you know, my impression of the school itself was it was a very good school, very good program. And, you know, when you look at coaching turnover, that happens everywhere that you look. I mean, at some point or another, you're going to have, you know, coaches leave for whatever reason. Sometimes it's they want to move on, do something else. Sometimes it's other reasons. So, you know, I really didn't think about that. To me, it was just, you know, trying to get a job at a really, really good institution in a great town.
So how has it gone so far? Obviously, you got the job not long before you actually began your fall drills. So, I mean, this has been, I know, a real whirlwind thing for you. And, of course, sometimes we forget it's not just a matter of all of a sudden just packing up your things, hopping on a plane or a bus and getting down here and coaching. You had family to move down and everything else. So I know it's been a very, very busy time for you. But let's talk about kind of volleyball specifically. Have you been pleased with what you've seen so far?
I've been very pleased. You know, we have a pretty small team, pretty small roster. You know, right now we're at 11 players, only 9 of which are active until we get Jill Trabing back from her knee surgery. But as far as their effort in the gym, as far as their willingness to learn, they're really hungry for information. They're hungry for coaching, and it's what any coach could have for could hope for. And I'm very, very happy with it.
The Yellow Jacket Coaches Show with the new head coach for the Montana State Billings volleyball team, Steve Smith. We'll be back to talk about this year's edition of the Montana State Billings Yellow Jackets on the second part of the Coaches Show.
Sports Health is for the athlete in all of us. Sports Health is all about getting back into the game, no matter what your game is, baseball, running, basketball, or walking. Sports injuries are cared for by a professional team of orthopedic physicians and therapists with the goal of getting you back into the action. Don't be sidelined. If you're injured, ask your physician to send you to Sports Health at St. Vincent Healthcare.
Sign up with SignPro. Let the people know.
Trust Sign Pro. From banners to illuminated cabinets, dimensional signs and letters, custom designs and logos, to wide format color printing and neon. With their top quality cutting edge signage, they have the knowledge to make your first impression a lasting one. So go ahead, create an impact for your business. Sign up with Sign Pro today. 259-3200.
Sign up with Sign Pro.
And welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show, talking with Steve Smith, the new head coach for the Montana State Billings Lady Yellow Jacket volleyball team. Preseason coaches poll just came out. Montana State Billings picked eighth out of nine teams. Probably not a shock to you from the standpoint that I know last year was a bit of a tumultuous year for MSUB, but certainly you got a lot of talent back. The preseason pick to win it is Western Washington, followed by your old team, defending champion Western Oregon, and Northwest Nazarene third, and kind of down the line. Obviously, the GNAC, very, very tough. You know, let me just preface my remarks by saying I love coaches. I love preseason polls. They're fun, you know, from a sports junkie standpoint. You know, we enjoy them, but honestly, I've followed sports long enough to also know that you need to kind of take them with a grain of salt.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when I got the poll and I was filling it out, you know, I haven't seen these teams play in a couple of years, so I was biased towards the teams that I know that have done a really good job in the past, plus, you know, biased towards, you know, some of my fellow coaches who I have tremendous respect for. And I think that's one of the reasons why you see Diane Flick and Western Washington at the top of the conference. You know, I think one thing about this conference is that it can go really deep. Mario and Daya at Central Washington University can put together a team in any given year that can vie for a conference title. Of course, you have Coach Sandin at Western Oregon, who has an extremely good background as a former international team coach and Division One coach. But, you know, there's just too much talent around the league to really know how things work out. And so when I filled out, you know, that poll, I was really looking at the past history as far as what I remember of the teams. And really, I was just kind of biased towards some of those coaches. As far as us being eighth, you know, I can see that. It's where they ended up last year. I don't know how the preseason poll matches up to the actual conference standings from last year, but I doubt it's that much different than really how teams ended up. So, you know, it's kind of a fun thing for us to do too. A lot of it's just kind of guesswork because, you know, we hear about some of the recruits that people get, we know who leaves, but it's still, you got to see the teams play to really have a good understanding of how things are going to work out.
And the one variable that's always kind of thrown in there, the monkey wrench, if you will, is there's that old cliche, and it's a cliche for a reason because it's a good one. The championships are won during the off season, and you never know what each team had going on during the off season. Did these players put the time and effort into it? You assume they did, but you never know. And there are going to be teams every year that surprise you. Some player that you're thinking, where'd they come from? And you look at the roster, they were there last year, but all of a sudden they just blossom. So those are the type of things that always happen that can surprise you and can obviously take a poll like this and just kind of throw it right out the window as the season goes on.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things I really like about Division II is there's that balance between the importance of recruiting and the importance of developing players that you bring into your program. You know, I always like to quote Roy Williams, who said, you know, recruiting, it's an everyday process. It's kind of like shaving. You don't do it after a couple of days and you start to look like crap. So I believe that. I think you need to be diligent with your recruiting, exploring all options, local, national, even international level, to try to find the right players, but also the right fit for your program as far as, you know, the personality of the players. And then you kind of balance that off with, you know, the depth of your team and developing maybe some of the projects that you bring into your program.
Let's talk about this year's edition of the Yellow Jackets. Obviously, a great place to start is Devin Crotto. I've watched her for 2 years now. There were times last year where she absolutely took games over. There is a senior for you that's really got that ability, doesn't she?
Oh, absolutely. Devin, I think she's one of the best outside hitters in the nation, and I've seen some really good ones over the past 4 years when, you know, I see the MIAA teams and some of the teams from, you know, up in the Midwest, like Concordia, St. Paul, Augustana, and she would start for any team around the nation. I think with Devin, besides her ability to play and her athletic ability, the thing that kind of sets her apart too is just her leadership qualities, how supportive she is of her other teammates, how really supportive she is of the freshmen that have come in, who have a lot to learn and a long ways to grow before they become, you know, big time players for us too. And sometimes you see, you know, seniors with her ability who kind of have that attitude like, you know, I'm the greatest player ever, and Devin's not like that. She's very humble, she's very supportive, and she's one of those players that really helps her team get better. And when you're looking at, you know, a really good player around the nation, that's what they do, is they help make their team better. It's not just all about them.
I think you'll find out as we do coaches shows, I'm not one of those sports analysts that likes to call players out. Very, very careful about that. I love the game of volleyball, and I realize how oftentimes it can be a struggle for each individual player. I want to ask you about, having said that, I want to ask you about Jen Bowe. I saw Jen Bowe a couple years ago as a freshman, just absolutely blew me away. I thought she was as good a freshman as there was in the GNAC Conference, had an incredible year, had a nice solid year last year, but with the struggles of the team, it kind of, I thought, reflected on Jen's play. I can't help but think going into her junior year that this could be a real breakout year for Jennifer as well, because just what a talent.
Oh, absolutely. One of the top athletes that you'll find. She's a little bit, you know, on the smaller side at 5'9". I mean, that might sound big for some people, but when you're used to being around athletes, 5'9 is about midsize. But athletically, she can go against anyone in the nation. One of the most powerful kids that I've ever seen. You know, very, very, very quick, reads well. You know, she's, I think, our primary ball control person, which is really important. And ball control is not only first contact when you're on serve, receiver, defense, but it's like your offensive ball control too. You know, I think sometimes she maybe gets a little bit excited and overswings at the ball, and you might see some errors there, but then she follows it up with a really smart play. And again, Jen's one of those players that helps make the team better, and she's also very supportive of her teammates. So what a great combination to have her and Devin on the court at the same time.
Of course, Hillary Morrison back for her senior year, played mainly the setter position last year, did a good job. I do have to ask you about Jill Trabing. You mentioned her. She's having some issues with her knee now. You hope to get her back here before too awful long. But Jill Trabing, you know, all in that all-important defensive specialist position, you deep enough that you're going to be able to kind of withstand, you know, what's going on now without Jill?
I think we're going to be, you know, her knee ended up being a lot better than what we thought it was going to be. So she's, you know, she's already off the crutches. She's walking around. I guess she's biking. She's going to be running by this Friday. So she's progressing really well. It's also a good opportunity for our younger players. You know, we have Whitney Mickelson, who's a sophomore, who I don't think she saw a whole lot of playing time last time. And then we have Morgan Moss, who's a freshman coming in from Fowler, who will be in that right back position as a sub for a right side. It gives them an opportunity to play over these first couple weekends. But, you know, when we talk about all the seniors, and with Jen, of course, you know, Hillary, of course, is to have the upperclassmen in the primary ball control positions. That's huge for our team. It's really huge for our team. You know, Hillary, I would say, you know, she's doing a really, really good job as someone who is not groomed from a young age to be a setter. She's doing an outstanding job, and I couldn't ask for more from her. Again, you talk about someone who's a really good leader on the court, who is just a great personality, very, very important for our club.
And, of course, as the year goes on with the coaches show, we'll talk about some of those individual players that you brought in that we'll be able to kind of – that I'm sure will, you know, some of the new recruits and things. But when we come back, probably should start talking about what's coming up this weekend as MSUB starts off their volleyball season in Hawaii. That's coming up on the third part of the coaches show.
At Perkins Restaurants, breakfast is a specialty. Breakfast is a tradition. Breakfast is served all day. But best of all, breakfast is just the beginning. Sure, you can get big fluffy omelets and golden buttermilk pancakes, but we also serve juicy burgers and mile-high melts, bread bowl salads, and hearty dinners like jumbo shrimp, grilled top sirloin steak, homestyle pot roast, even butterball roast turkey and dressing. At Perkins, we set the menu, but you pick the time. And no matter what time of day it is, you'll find a comfortable, relaxed atmosphere, friendly staff, and your own pot of coffee right at your table. We even have our own bakery with fresh baked pies like luscious chocolate French silk and caramel apple. For all your favorites, served all day long. Now there's a Perkins right nearby. Stop in real soon. Perkins. Breakfast is just the beginning.
Stop by either Billings location and enjoy breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Perkins is a proud sponsor of Yellow Jacket Athletics.
And welcome to the conclusion of the Montana State Billings Yellow Jacket Coaches Show with Steve Smith. I'm Ken Blue, talking MSUB volleyball today as they get set to head off to Oahu, Hawaii as part of the Aqua Hotel Invitational. Open up play on the 27th against Hawaii Pacific. Also going to be taking on BYU Hawaii and University of Hawaii Hilo and Chaminade. You know, I mean, most people look back and they say, holy cow, you know, what a great way to start the season in Hawaii. But then again, if you followed volleyball to know, you certainly know that, you know, you haven't exactly set yourself up for starting off against a bunch of cream puffs. They play some great volleyball in that part of the country.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing is we're not going over there for vacation. We're going there for our out-of-conference in-region matches, which is really, really important for us, you know, if we have a shot at going to regionals. The GNAC doesn't have a conference tournament, so you really got to set yourself up in those opportunities to play out of conference, to play the strong regional teams, and that's the California schools and, of course, the Hawaii schools. Again, you know, four schools that I haven't seen play for, you know, 4 or 5 years, but the history is there. You know, with how hard can it be to recruit to Hawaii anyway? You know, so you know they got good players. But Will Nivalta at BYU Hawaii, I mean, just he's going to be a Hall of Fame coach. And he really is already with how many national championships they've won for NAIA and NC2A Division II. HBU have a newer coach. I think this is his second or third year. You know, I think they're going to be a good program. You know, as far as Hilo and Chaminade, not really sure how they're going to stack up, but we got to be prepared for, you know, playing really, really tough teams.
You had an opportunity to see Hawaii Hilo play last year, and I know last year they were very, very talented, so I had a chance to watch them play against, I believe, both Rocky and MSUB. So a very, 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 very talented team there last year. Of course, they might have lost a lot of players, so you never know what's going to happen from year to year. But, you know, the neat thing is you know, you want to win, obviously, but the main thing is just getting out of the court, out on the court, I suspect, this time of year. The kids are probably tired of playing against each other, tired of drills and everything else, and right now it's just going to be good to get some real good competition, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's one of those things with such a small squad. We've been modifying scrimmages and everything like that, you know, to do the best that we can in the gym, having some assistant coaches step in and play. You know, we did have an opportunity to scrimmage at junior college over the weekend, and, you know, we saw some really good things and things that we need to work on. But, you know, they're kind of chomping at the bit. They're ready to go against good quality opponents. You know, one of the things that we discovered over the weekend is sometimes we can be our own worst enemy, but we're in the flow, and it looks awfully good.
The fascinating thing about volleyball, and everybody always talks about momentum in any sport and how momentum shifts, but I've never seen anything like it like you see in volleyball. You know, one team will dominate the first match. You know, it'll be a 25-6 game. Suddenly the second match, and you're sitting there, and suddenly it's just totally flipped over. I mean, to talk about the ebb and flows in volleyball, and those are the type of things. And, of course, you weren't here last year, but I got to watch a lot of Yellow Jacket volleyball. It seems like when things went bad, it was difficult to kind of get over the hump, and I suspect that's the type of thing. When you talk about that senior leadership, you know, getting over some of that adversity that certainly the successful teams do, because every team will have adversity not only over the season but on a match-by-match basis.
Oh, yeah. You know, volleyball, I call it a game of mistake management. You know, no one in the history of the sport has ever played a perfect game, not Karch Karai or Misty May or whoever else. And the teams that are really successful are the ones that play the best in out-of-system play, meaning they manage their own mistakes and they get quality swings. They take the junk that the other team's giving from them and they minimize their own mistakes. So, you know, that's part of handling that momentum and trying to keep it on your side as opposed to letting something go in a downward spiral where it just gets worse and worse and worse and you feel like you can't climb out of it. But, you know, it happens on all levels. If you watch international teams play, you know, even during the Olympics, you can see a 25-15 game and then the next game is 25-15 the other way. And, you know, it's about matchups. It's about, you know, someone getting hot and riding that person. I think what's really important for us is, you know, we want to play at a real high level. We want to be really competitive. We don't want to get in this really, really serious mode where we start worrying about our mistakes and trying to be perfect. I mean, in part, the game needs to be fun, and playing at a high competitive level is fun, but we can't worry about those things. We have to have a real, short-term memory where we forget those mistakes and focus on the next ball. And I think that's going to, you know, be one of the keys for us to help us kind of get out of those funks earlier. But, you know, you'll just see that. It'll happen. It happened with us this weekend. You know, we took Northwestern apart in the first game. It was like 25-14. And in the second game, we let them run a little bit at the first and then a run at the end. And we lost, I think it was 25-18. And, you know, the thing that I talked about the girls before that game even started was, hey, you know, a 25-14 victory in one game against a team is not important until the match is over and we've won. And then we can, you know, we can think about it then. Each game is something new, and each team that we play against this year can run points on us. And we just need to make sure that we play steady, you know, to make sure that our times where we're struggling is just we're trying to manage the game and make good choices, because we'll get out of that and we'll start playing again.
All right, good enough. Steve Smith, the head coach for the Montana State Billings volleyball team, as they get set to head off to Oahu, Hawaii. In fact, by the time this will air, they'll be, you know, probably in Hawaii. And, of course, then they'll be back to take on, to be in Bismarck, North Dakota for the University of Mary tournament. Should make mention that their first games at home will be as part of a tournament in the MSUB tournament September 11th. And one of those games will include Great Northwest Athletic Conference opponent Northwest Nazarene. So that'll be fun. Steve Smith, welcome to Montana State Billings, and looking forward to a great season of Yellow Jacket volleyball.
Great. Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
It's been the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Thanks, everyone.
The Yellow Jackets and Montana State University thank you for logging on and listening to Yellow Jacket Sports.